You might like to turn. You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and 27. Jeremiah and chapter 27. And in our recent moments, we're looking at the book of Daniel to remind ourselves as we look into the future, as we have done with several of the prophets, because they're all looking into the future. And so therefore, in Jeremiah 27 verse 5, we are reminded, I have made the earth and earth, the man and the beast that are upon it, upon the ground, by my great power, by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet or fitting unto me. And now have I given all these lands under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given unto him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him, and everyone is to bow down and honor the order of history as it is outworked, Babylon being at this point right at the top. Over to verse 11. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. So, if you honor God's movement, then the nations that Nebuchadnezzar could conquer, and he does conquer, but God will leave them, Nebuchadnezzar will leave them to enjoy their own land in their own way. And so therefore, Nebuchadnezzar had the power, and God had given him the power and the position and the authority. So, the process now in 605, Israel is there, and in 605, Nebuchadnezzar takes the city in 605. So Israel enjoyed their land, their way of life, up until Nebuchadnezzar came along. And Nebuchadnezzar came and took over, and he had took over the rule, the reign, and in the process, he took captives, and one of which was Daniel in 605. So, Daniel is there, and Daniel goes and taken captive. So with that in mind, over to Daniel chapter 1 again. And in Daniel, picking up please, in chapter 1, remember we shared together that God favored Daniel as a teenager, his Meshach and Abednego are young kids. And Nebuchadnezzar takes them to develop them in the language of the Babylonians and to be the culture of Babylonians and to serve the country of Babylon. But in the process of doing that, Nebuchadnezzar finds that Daniel and his three friends are not inclined to go along with that quite the way they'd like. So, Daniel and his three friends, as we shared in chapter 1, and in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself, and so with his three friends. And therefore they didn't. And we did all that last time. And we looked at that to see it. And God honored. Now, Daniel and his three friends go from Israel, the way of life, the way they were doing things, and he goes from that position over to Babylon, a whole nother realm. There's no temple, there's no worship, everything is all gone. Everything. So now, they have to live in a world where there's nothing to remind them of God in the Jerusalem, Israel kind of way. Just Babylonian darkness and idolatry. And they choose to stay on course. They can't see in the dark, but God is a little light for their feet, and they're going to trust God inch by inch. And the only place they are is right now, and they tell them, we're not going to follow your system. We choose not to do so. And God honors it. Babylon and the king honors it, as we shared. And they were 10 times wiser, better in every way. You could look at all the Babylonian young men in the same class, and you would see them, and they're spotted. God mocked them. He mocked their features. He mocked their mind. He mocked their heart. They were smarter. They were quicker. They were able to go and do and be everything that they needed to be. They stood out. God mocked them. Now, hang on to that. So God did that. And thus they're lifted up in position, and Nebuchadnezzar lifts them right up over all the other Babylonians. He lifts them up and gives them power and positions. And that makes for a lot of problems, because the Nebuchadnezzar's court, their astrologers, their wisdom, their wise men, all of that are not happy. Because 3-4 Jewish boys are chosen over all of them. That makes for trouble. So they're not happy. They're never going to be happy. Now, what are they going to do? Hang on to that. So in chapter 2, God is going to go, and Nebuchadnezzar's takes 605, he's in Babylon. He goes back home. He's been in power for a year. That's what he's done. And so when we come over to chapter 1, I should say, to tie that together, I'll read 20 and 21. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of the king of Cyrus. That's his whole reign. Five kings, lived through five kings. And all the way to the end of Babylon, Daniel did. Daniel never went back after 70 years. Others did, Daniel never did. He stayed right there. Now, so therefore, here we are in chapter 2, and Nebuchadnezzar's been home a year, right, reigning, etc. And in the process, God has started something different. And no more Israel. No more Israel. What are we going to do without Israel? Wow. And we don't have Israel yet. Israel is out. And stays out till even today. No Israel. Gentiles. A whole new system. Therefore, God tells us and helps us understand I'm going to help you, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to use you because you're the first in line. I'm going to put you first, but I'm going to let everyone know the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all of that is going to follow you while the Jews are put aside. So I'm going to clue everybody in so we aren't going to be thinking, and the false prophets and the priests were saying and doing whatever. And Israel, don't get deceived. You're not going to go back into power. Gentiles are going to stay. So therefore, in the process of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, so Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. God is going to elevate. God is going to give light to everybody, including Jew and Gentile. He's going to give light of how it's going to go. How is history going to go after Israel is put aside? Question. And God's going to tell you all the way till they come again. Going to give you the whole program right up front so you don't have to guess at it. And so now, so therefore, verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. In other words, he had a very difficult dream, and the dreams were there. And he dreamed a dream without doing all of that, but you know it. And the dream, and he dreamed a dream. And he tried to get everybody, his wise men, etc., to come. I'll read verse 5. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If you will not make it known unto me the dream, and with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." Now that's good. Either you do the job or you're fired. Fired, going to get you out of the business. That's the alternative. What are you going to do? So therefore, that's a concern, because that would include Daniel and his three friends. They'd all go. All, because they're part of the court. They're leading the wise men. They're over them, astrologers and everything. They're above here. They're going to take the whole thing gone. Nebuchadnezzar is going to wipe it out. So therefore, there's a concern. And therefore, Daniel goes, and knowing it, he goes and talks to Nebuchadnezzar, the eunuch and Nebuchadnezzar. And so that Daniel said, before you do this thing, and they can't answer you, let's see if we can help. So therefore, you know, Daniel was able to go and interpret the dream and for him, and no one else could, in no way that no one else could ever do it. So therefore, in the process, in in chapter 2, he's going to go and do what he does. And I don't know whether to do chapter 3. And in the process, and so chapter 2, verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king, because Daniel went and interpreted the dream, as you would read. It's all about an image. And Daniel explained that to Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream and how the dream went. And Daniel gave the answer in every way, an understanding way. So therefore, in the process, Daniel went in chapter 2, sliding back to verse 31. Nebuchadnezzar honored them for giving the dream, but the dream itself starts in chapter 2, verse 31. That's the dream. They dream. What's the dream doing? It's going to unfold history all the way to the Lord comes. That's what it's going to do. So, and therefore, how's it going to do it? Verse 31, and thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image, this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood above before thee, and from the form thereof was terrible. It was an awesome image of an idol that God, that Nebuchadnezzar saw. It was a man. And Nebuchadnezzar, read verse 32, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass or bronze, and his legs, verse 33, of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. And verse 34, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out. In other words, that image is going to exist until God is finished, until God is going to move. Like he did with Babylon, he's going to move with the image, his feet, the feet of iron and clay. Thou saw, verse 34, that what thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of the iron and clay and break them in pieces. In other words, without jumping ahead here, you're going to go and hit the feet and you're going to go all the way back up to the head. And all of it, the gold is going to be found in the silver is going to be found in the bronze is going to be found in the iron, and the whole image is found in his feet. In other words, if I go and I step on your toes, it goes all the way up to your head. True. I step hard with a big sledgehammer. And a message goes all the way up to your head. God is going to start with where he is and take the whole thing that is developed all through history and judge it. So therefore, with that in mind, he's going to judge his image. It's the image of a man. Now, let's put that together. Over to Genesis. Genesis in chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse, chapter 1, verse 26. And follow it. We're just going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 for the man. Verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion, that is a person, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Over to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, if I can. And you can pick up, if I may, in verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, it is in the likeness of God made he him. So, now the image, the head, so, et cetera, Deuteronomy, Daniel 2 and 31, is the image of a man. A man. Man is the center. Not animals, not stars. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's all about man. Everything else is going to disappear in a new heaven and new earth except man. Man's the issue. He's going to create man. Man has to have an environment and a place to exist. That's planet Earth. So here's man on planet Earth. That's what he's doing. And everything is centered. All of the universe is centered about man. Man. God's going to get rid of everything else. The centerpiece is man. God made them in his image and likeness. so that he would be able to go and take that vessel of dust and find his dwelling place within it to be able to show and enjoy his wonderful person in a human heart, not in a kangaroo or mouse or something else, but in a person back to instinct again. Animals have instinct, humans have God. Now, having that in mind, go with me, please, over if you can, in your Bible. Over if you can, chapter 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. And you will note, I'm jumping ahead now, but keeping in mind, the image is an image of man. It's man's day and man's way. Man's day, humans on earth, man, and man's day and man's way. That's what it is. It's all about humans. What are they going to do in the light of God who created and died for them? What are they going to do? Okay, so here's the image of man. Here we're made. We're made in the image of God made us, mankind, Adam, mankind. Now, so when we come down to history, the devil goes and seeks to go and subvert the issue. God saves them. The devil wants them not to be saved. And therefore, Genesis chapter 6, the days of Noah, eight people saved, the whole rest are not. The devil doesn't want them saved, period. Doesn't want anyone saved. Darkness must prevail, not light. Now, so here, jumping along, here comes the devil in the church age here, where we are. And in the process, what's going to happen out of the church age here? So, picking up in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, sliding down to verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That man of sin, verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All about what? Man. And what are you doing, Nebuchadnezzar? You're building a great idol. It's going to be 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. That's pretty big. Right then, here's the hanging seven wonders of the world, the hanging gardens of Babylon, hanging up over here in the palace, and out here in the field is this big giant, mean-looking giant. Now, and so here, what are we doing? We've got a man. Man. The man is an image, an idol. That's going to be man's image. So, sliding over, and what are we going to do with this chapter? Thessalonians, we need to finish that one off, and over, if you would, please, to Revelation, and in chapter 13, as you would know, and chapter 13, sliding over, if I can, to verse 14, remember the Antichrist goes and has his image put up in the temple. And in chapter 13, verse 14, I'll read verse 13 for a little bit of context. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh his fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. That's a man, the Antichrist. Put a man, an image of a man. Put it in the temple. And the mud man, the Antichrist, He wants to be God. So, make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and he did live. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, image of the beast, they should be killed. That's right. Don't worship the beast. You get killed. Just like that. Just think of what you're doing in 1 John. God said, what do you have to understand? Cain hated his brother and murdered him. What's your old nature? What's in your old nature? Galatians chapter 5, 21, 22. Killing, hating, murder. What happens when you get frustrated? You go, hate makes for murder. Hate, that's what you got in our country now. Hate makes for murder. That's what it does. So here we are, and the image, so we're picking up, please, verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark on the or the image or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. What sign are we looking for? What are we looking for? For it is the number of a man. It's the number of a man, and the number is 666. 600, 666. That's a man. What's he gonna have? Can't buy or sell. A man. All about the man. Now, to see the other side of the coin, that's from the darkness side. What about a man? Satan wants to substitute his man for God's man, Christ Jesus. Over to John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and you will note, John chapter 5 and verse 7. I said that, didn't I? John chapter 5. Picking up, please. I just did it. 27. And I'll read verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son of Man. That's one of his favorite identifications, Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. At 26. Verse 26. Son of Man to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also. The reason, because he is the Son of Man. So what are we going to do? We can't. The only we got to be. That's why the Antichrist is a Muslim or something else. He has to stay close as he can to identify with the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to stay. I want to be God. The devil wants to be play God. His man representing him. The man representing him represents the devil, who's seeking to represent God. And so the devil, the Antichrist, is going to be what? A man, and he's going to seek to substitute the man Christ Jesus, who saves us, to the man of the devil who sends us to hell. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. That's his job, to be the man. That whole image, the whole history of time going down the corridor is about that. Now, having said that little bit, the Son of Man, if I can. So therefore, picking up, please, and so the history of man is going to be there, and man's day and man's way. So God is going to honor the believing heart in a wonderful, wonderful way and going to show his wonderful, wonderful grace. And God is going to do that. Now, back over to Daniel. And just to go quickly to see it. It all moves along very smoothly, wonderfully through Daniel. And therefore, Daniel, and in chapter 2, picking up, please. Chapter 2, and if I may. So here's the head of gold. And the head of gold is there. And the head of gold represents Nebuchadnezzar. And chapter 3, verse 1, just get that a little bit. Chapter 3, and in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. So the whole, it isn't just the head that's gold. The head is solid gold of this 900-foot thing, image. The head is solid gold. The rest of it's covered with gold. So as you look, it's all gold. All gold. All about Nebuchadnezzar. That's right. So it's all about Nebuchadnezzar. That's why he's doing it. Hang on. Now, so therefore, and so what are we going to have? Well, Daniel's going to go and interpret the dream and help Nebuchadnezzar understand. So in the process, he's going to explain. So as he does that, Daniel went in. So the king is going to tell him how it's going to go, and in the process, going to explain it. So therefore, here's Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to have the head of gold. And the head of gold represents Babylon. That's what it does. And Babylon. Now, Babylon's the first in line. He's the head. You start with the head to work down to the toes. So who's going to follow Babylon? Media Persia is going to follow Babylon. And the process is going to go, and that's silver. So we're going to go from, and Media Persia is going to come in and take over Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Going to take over the whole nation of Babylon. And therefore, we go from gold, Babylon. All you do is turn the pages of history. And we go to, what are we supposed to find next? What are you going to find when you turn the pages of history? Media Persia. That's what you're going to find. So God tells you already, you're going to find Media Persia. And you're sliding down a little further, and then you're going to hit bronze, the bronze thighs and that. And you're going to find him. That's Greece, Alexander the Great, the belly and the thighs. And that's Greece, Alexander the Great. Where's Alexander the Great? Just sit tight. He's coming, and he came. He came, Alexander the Great. Goodbye, Alexander. So therefore, we go down to the feet, iron, their feet, legs and feet of iron. That's Rome. Rome comes Caesar. Caesar and all of it comes along, and it's going right down. Greece, Rome, that's where we go. Down to Rome, and we watch Rome come and go, the Caesars, etc. And they do whatever in doing what they're doing. And in the process, we then go to the feet, chapter 2, picking up, as you know, in verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. So we come down to the what? We come down to the feet and the feet of iron. But then we go and slide along your foot, and you hit your toes. You got 10 fingers, and usually you have 10 toes. 10. That's how we got our system of mathematics. 10. And for a computer, we use the same 10. We don't go 1, 2, 3, 4. We go 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. System computer. And we go down the corridor of time. Now, having said whatever, and so here we are in the toes of iron and clay. That's where we are. That's where we are. And all of it's taken place, and here we are. We don't have. Rome was never defeated. I think 4 generals or whatever divided it up. No one ever conquered Rome. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's men and horses and chariots and everything couldn't put them back together again. We've never been able to get Rome back together. We're waiting. Waiting. They're 10 toes. They're iron and clay. They're divided. Brittle. Brittle. They aren't locked in like the old empires. They're locked in. They change. They change. France, Spain, Germany, etc., Yugoslavia, they're all there, all there, all there, all there, divided up, etc., like everywhere, all divided. Nothing solid. No, nothing solid yet. So therefore, that's where we're sitting. And chapter 2 of Daniel, and verse 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They don't hold to each other. Iron and dirt, and they don't fit. They don't hold together. No, they don't. It's easy to conquer one nation or another. Real easy to conquer, change, you know, politics, rebellion, everything. Now, like in Nepal, etc. So now, in the process of that, all of that's going to happen down to verse 44. And because it has to come back together. Babylon has to be back together. Remember the Tower of Babylon and all of history and the European Union, the business of the European big councils and all they have, whatever they had, and all the different groups they have. Well, they got, we're going to get back. Back to the power, back to the tower, back to the tower, power, tower, the tower, Genesis 11, tower in a city, back to the tower. So you got to do. So we're all doing that. And that's what we're looking for. The world's basically hither and yon, looking for somebody to put the pieces together. That's what they're doing. Want somebody to put the piece together. They don't want a system to put the pieces together. They want us somebody to put the pieces together. So, got to have leadership. And the electronic world is sure going to give it to them. Electronic world, they're going to have a field day when they want, when they're ready. Because you're not going to do a thing about it. They can wipe you out. And even no one knows I exist because I don't have a computer. But they'll know you, and pretty soon they'll find me anyway, you see. They're going to find me anyway. We're all going to be. So you can say, I'm not going to be. Yeah, yeah, we'll see. If they want to do anything today up there, out there, and you are going to be stuck, if they want to change the price of gas to $15, you're going to pay $15 and no gas. That's what you're going to do. You don't have a choice. So here we are, looking. So here's God. And therefore, a system. We're waiting. We're looking for what to have it come together. European Union. Hang on. Let me do it quickly. Verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 15, verse 45. Inasmuch as thou sawest that the stone, that's our Lord, was cut out of the mountain without hands, God's kingdom and God's way and God's time, and that it break in pieces the iron, that's right, iron, brass, clay, silver, and the gold, all the way up to the head. And the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass after hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the and the interpretation thereof is sure. So whether you understand it or not, Nebuchadnezzar, it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. So I don't have to, you don't have to worry, whatever. Just read it. Where are we? That's where we are. And turn the pages. We're already coming down the corridor of time. So I don't believe that. Well, where do you think it came from? And where do you think it's going? It's going to go right where he said it is. It has, it always has. History tells you it has. So why don't you pay it? People pay attention to history. It tells you. He told you. It's where it's going. Oh, I don't know. See, you don't have to guess at it. God gave it. God's going to come. And to tie that, chapter 7. And in chapter 7, remember, the whole vision is given again, only this time, instead of being a man, it's wild animals. Wild animals, not tame animals, wild animals. So therefore, in chapter 7, you have the four kingdoms of Babylon and Greece, Babylon or Media Persia, Greece and Rome. And then the 10 toes. Only that when you look at the 10 toes, where are you going to find them? Chapter 7 and in verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong, exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. Iron teeth, right. Iron and clay. Iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, that it was diverse from all the beasts and that were before it, and that it had 10 horns, like 10 toes, only this is now a beast with 10 horns. Verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom were the first, there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. In other words, the Antichrist is going to go and has, instead of having all 10 of them agree, they have three of them need to question, and so the Antichrist is going to deal with the three. And so all three are what? Are going to get changed in one way or another, and they're all 10 of them are going to be in complete agreement with the Antichrist. So they're plucked up by the way of the roots and beheld. And in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. A man, that's right, a man. That's what you saw. That's what it said. That's where it is. It's the day of man. Now, how do you say that? Lord, how did you say it? You gave all this, so how did you say it when you were alive before you were crucified? Luke, if I can, in chapter 21. Luke in chapter 21. And you will note. And in Luke, chapter 21, if I can, and in the process, Luke 21. And you will note in Luke 21, going over if I can, our Lord looking into the tribulation coming in verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give birth, give suck, in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and the wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until it's going to stay down. Remember, they tried to build it up, and Titus comes along in 70 AD and really destroys it again. He really destroys it. That's when they went out, like we shared the other day, to Masada, the mountain out there, way up in the mountain, and they held off the Romans for so long. So, before the Romans took them. Now, and therefore, it's going to be until the times of the Gentile be fulfilled. You have to finish the image. All the way down to the 10 toes, and God's going to judge the 10 toes. He's going to judge the 10 toes. Who's the head of the 10 toes? The Antichrist. The little horn out of the 10 horns is going to go against God. What are we, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. What did the man of sin want to do? I want to be as God. That's what I want to be. I want to be like God. And that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. When that happens, it's all done. It's all finished. That's the tribulation. And that's where it's going to go. So we don't have to guess. We can sit here and say whatever you want, do whatever you want. That's what's going to be. That's history. And where is, we're 5 minutes of 12. I don't know. Maybe 1 minute of 12. We're on our way. We're on our way there. And the world, with all that's happening, even in our own country, trying to fix things and get things better. But the bad guys are so set, and they have no rules, and they have no wings. They just do whatever they need to do. Communism's thought is to control the world. And it doesn't matter how it does it. Islam, to be under the world, under Islam, caliph and all that. That's what it wants. That's their goal. That's the reason they live. You live to be recognized by our Lord and be a testimony. They live to make that world happen at whatever cost. So it's always in the back of the leadership's mind to do so. Never out of it. No matter who it is, if they're just a person that is a communist, maybe not. But if you're really into the system, that's what you're looking for. And your life is expendable to bring this about. So therefore, all of it's going to happen and is happening right around and right in front of us. And we don't even have to say, well, boy, I don't know. You sure do know. You don't have to guess at anything. You know it. You know it. Some say, I don't know. You can't know the future. No, I agree. But I can know how it's going to go, how it's going to work out. I sure do. That's how I know. And you know it. So we don't have to say you can't know. God knows. And God said it. And since all of it is good, from head to the toe, I guess it must going to be finished. That would be my guess. If everything has to happen exactly as he said, then he must going to finish it. Thank you, God. So I don't have to guess. So having said that, so here's all the kings, and therefore they're going to try to persecute. And that's what they're going to try to do. So what are we going to do? Well, here's the image. It's all about Nebuchadnezzar and his pride to go and ride up high. But, so the image is set up, and you know, chapter 3, and back over, back over if I can, to Daniel. And in chapter 3, and just catching the flavor of it so you see it. Daniel chapter 3. And in the process, Nebuchadnezzar does the normal thing. He saw the image. He had the interpretation of the dream. It's all about him. It's all about him. He's there. It's all about, you can see, boy, he's excited. He's going to honor himself. He builds the idol. He has the command to make this idol. And I don't know how they ever got up 900 feet, but that's fine. You know, they did a lot of things. A lot of things I don't know how they did. Pyramids, etc. Now, so here's Daniel chapter 3. And Nebuchadnezzar has the image made. And the image is made and put in the middle of the plain of Dura. And that's what it does. So every outside of Babylon. And I'm sure not everyone comes, because of distance of kind of everything. But everyone certainly in the vicinity or near enough is going to be commanded to come and see this awesome image. And when they come to see the awesome image, God, the system is going to go and honor the image and thus honor Nebuchadnezzar. And so when we honor the image and we honor Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to do that. And in doing so, you're going to recognize Nebuchadnezzar as just a man. But when you look at the man standing in front of his 900-foot image, you know, that's my God. God, my God, made me. So you can say, wow. And everyone bowed down. And you know, now the wise men, have they made any better thought about Daniel and his three friends? No. No, they're still after him. And now they have a way to do so. And the way to do so is to go and make the image, make everyone bow down. Nebuchadnezzar, everyone should bow down and honor you, your image. Everyone should honor you. And if they don't honor you, you what? Chapter 3, and in the process, verse 10. Thou, O king, hath made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackcloth, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, and worship doesn't fall down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. That's what he should do. So they're trying to go. Now, and they know that Meshach and Abednego, and Moses, and them, they're straight shooters. They're growing up, and they're straight shooters, and God's blessing them in darkness. They're little lights, and God's going to bless them and keep them till he's finished. He's going to finish. You remember, you can't, got to quit. You remember in Revelation chapter 11? We'll close with that one. I'll stop here. Go over to Revelation 11. And you'll see it. Easy. Revelation chapter 11. Here's the two images, the two witnesses, and they are going to be witnessing in Jerusalem 3.5 years, 11:7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the two witnesses, the beast that descendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war, Antichrist, make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now remember, for 3.5 years, you can't kill them. You can't kill them. And in fact, verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner, be killed. So they take care. They don't have any problem. They just breathe like a dragon and get rid of everybody. It's going to give them a trouble, they get rid of them. But they can't do it anymore. God allows our Lord to live 3.3 years, and they're trying to kill him from day one. But you can't kill him till God said now. And God puts you in where you are for God's will to be outworked in a dark world like Nebuchadnezzar lives in. And we live in that world. And there we are to be little lights. We aren't conquering the world. Why not? Because history has to outwork itself. History has to outwork itself. We can't tell God, do this and stop history. You have to finish the image of the beast. You have to finish history. You have to finish. God is going to finish it. God is going to take care of every human being. And why is he going to do what? Why are you going to wait, God? Why don't you just go and come in now? No. When Christ died on the cross, he died for every human being he would ever create, all the way to the end of the millennium. And if he would just come and now change it, what about all those people that he has like this, waiting to be born? He has to finish it. That's why he has to finish the job. He died for them, and they haven't been created yet, but they will be. They will be. And God waits, and God does what he does, but not until God's time. I got to quit. You're getting a little bit. God's going to do what he does. And you and I are safe as can be if we're going to walk in the walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will continue to cleanse you as you walk down the corridor of time from all sin. And you're safe as can be till it's God's time, if you're walking in the light in a very dark world. Very dark world. You aren't making the dark go away. The dark's not going away. No, your body, if I could just change the, no, you're not. You're going to live in the mess until he comes. But God's going to keep you in the middle of the mess until he comes. And then when he's ready, in God's time, he's going to do what he does, but only in God's time. I got to quit. You got the idea. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you, God. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Israel. We think of our country. We think of all the police and all these different killings and everything going on are just a token of all that is going on. So God, help us in every way. We think of the sick, the weak, and God, the people. We and they need to be trusting thee to outwork your wonderful will in your awesome way. So God, please help us. Thank you very, very much for doing so, because you're obligated, God, to honor your glorious name and your wonderful mercy. And our Father, we thank you for loving us again, giving safety, encouragement, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.